Chair of Trustees, Paul. Hello.
Yep. Right. Bless you, I hadn't expected applause. let me start by saying that Paula sends her love. It would have been lovely for her to be here today. But this weekend is a mission weekend in one of her churches. And I would value prayer for her because it is on a... she's today on an estate that is a very troubled estate. They've had three stabbings this in the last 6 months, all sorts of problems. She's going to be doing Jesus deck in the green in the middle of this estate today. And then tomorrow she's out there with a sketchboard giving a gospel appeal. So, let me start by saying that it is a privilege to serve as a trustee. My fellow trustees and the staff are really fantastic, and I'd like to start by saying thank you to all of them. Just give me the next slide. Yes, okay. I want to enthuse about what we are at TFM. I thought, let's take a look at what is in our DNA. And then I realised that DNA is an anagram of Dan. let me start. I'd like to start by reading Joshua 14. And I'm going to read verses... I'm going to read from verse just 7. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers, who went up with me, made the hearts of the people sink. And then from verse 10, now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Oh, you remember how cynical they were to Caleb. You know, they came back and said, oh, you know, the people are giants. You know, we have no chance. Well, one reason it's a privilege to be part of TFM is because we have Calebs among us here today. But one of the things I noticed in this passage is what's happening here is that Caleb is inspiring a new generation. He is the evidence of God's promise from 45 years ago. He is the evidence that God's purposes will be achieved. The DNA of TFM is that we actually do mission. And we pray. I think if there's one thing that Daniel Cousins impressed on me, it was the need to pray and pray. I'm conscious that I'm only standing here today because we've not yet appointed a new leader. So I need to tell you a bit about that and about our future. I'm not ashamed to be sticking to the scriptures I've put up there. If you want to peruse those scriptures while we sit, please do. The first scriptures put before us provide a huge mandate. The trustees and staff set time aside to seek the Lord and to see what he's saying to us, and these are the scriptures that we believe we're given. So I'm not ashamed to be sticking to those. The scale of the mandate from those verses on my first bullet point there, that mandate is so huge, it is actually more than we can do or deliver by appointing one evangelist. We also had the Jeremiah 6 reading, telling us to consider our past. So just a brief look back at our past. Daniel told me that when he started out, he was a one-man band with Gilly supporting him. And he inherited the supporters list from Dick Rees as Dick Rees retired. But today we have to wrestle with so much. We have GDPR to deal with. We have scrutiny about how we come across when we preach in public. We have to be better trained. There's a child protection focus. There's the need for an internet presence. In fact, I think probably what most of us immediately assume as the internet is old hat. Most people my age and younger, what they really want is everything happening through their phone app. So our battle is on many fronts. Our message might be the same, but once the world admired the phrase through faith, now it sees it as dangerous and suspicious. Now the world may not relate to the words through faith, but I have to say, and I want to say, that it is the way we approach our mission, our finance, and everything that we do, of course. What I'm saying is we realised, as we tried to recruit a leader, that we need more than an evangelist. We need to find a leader across all these fronts. We can't just pass on our supporter database to some new young evangelist. I'm minded to try. I will do my best to do that. But it's not just because it's a different world. It's because we at TFM are different. We are not just supporters of an evangelist with a charismatic personality and a great anointing to preach the gospel. That's not what we are anymore. TFM has actually made us an army of evangelists. So please pray for God to raise up that person as our new advertising goes out. It'll be out on Monday. Please pray also, I've also asked J. John if he knows anybody that would make a good leader for us. So I would value your prayers for that. Our new leader will be faced with building up our supporter base. The GDPR legislation has hit us very hard. The vast majority of our mailing list is not responding to us. So if you do have friends in TFM that have not sent back their GDPR response, please tell them that we have to do so, that they have to do so. I'm happy to explain the detail afterwards, but there are a couple of sentences in the legislation that mean, in the circumstances we're in, we actually have to ask people to opt in. We're not in a position to say, as some organisations are, if you don't respond, we'll consider that you've opted in and that's it. It's not going to work that way for us. But ask me afterwards if that troubles you. We're looking to have younger teams. I would also ask you to pray specifically for Roz as we try to create teams in the 18 to 35 year old age bracket. We're hoping for a Hungerford mission with teams of that in that age group, and I would like to make one of those happen in London too. I think we may be able to get some traction to do that, but it is a tough challenge. So Roz needs our prayers, GFM needs our prayers for that to happen. I also see our overseas walk missions as real tools to mentor and establish people like gap year students in their faith. I think there are ways in which we can reach a younger base of people, and we must do so. We need new approaches to reaching people with the same message in a way that they can receive. And that's why the trustees wanted to give across Britain as much chance as possible. Richard Scott devised it on sound thinking following the outcome of the Talking Jesus research. But Richard, although Richard worked extremely hard on this and continues to do so, it's been slow to get any traction. Now, as of this time, Richard will still pursue this with our support, where that's feasible. But our focus is on securing new missions, ambitious missions. One of the good lessons that Daniel taught me is that men need a challenge. And you know, let me give you an example. There was in our local community a working men's club. Now it's no longer a working men's club, it is a members club. And somebody in our church said, look, they're really struggling for members. They're aging. They're a great community of supportive people with a lot of good events going on, but they just can't attract new, younger people. Quite like a lot of our churches. So a group of us have spent some effort, you know, joining up, going down there, getting involved with events. So I find myself on a snooker table. It's a full-size table actually given us by Ronnie O'Sullivan. It's one of his old championship tables. And I'm a complete novice. And one dear brother in my church family says to me, oh, look, Paul, play a safe shot, because the shot that you're looking at there is the shot, but it's too difficult. It's going to be too difficult for you. So what do I immediately want to do? And I tell you, you know, I'm still excited today that the shot went down. But if I'd asked Paula's advice, do you know what? She'd have said, go for it. You know, that's the difference. And I think that's one reason why, you know, one of Daniel's big initiatives was Walk of a Thousand Men, I think that's actually one reason why it's really attractive for women to do too. Because women are obedient, they see that and they say, yes, let's go for it. Made me wonder if actually it was Caleb's wife telling him to do that, but... So I think we need to have big challenges in front of us. And that's a route that we're going to have to attract new people. It would be quite a challenge for our existing staff base to do that at the moment. That's why I think we definitely need a new leader that is able to work for us on a full-time basis. It's more than a full-time job. And the trustees have been thinking about doing things that's really big. For example, all of the UK. Maybe in smaller numbers in terms of teams. And perhaps where we're not invited, but the Matthew 22 reading was one of the ones we're given. And it says in there, go to the street corners and invite anyone you can. How that unfolds, maybe bits of pilot, I don't know. But we've been thinking about that. So there's nothing wrong with Caleb himself, but we do need that younger generation to be inspired. One young man, now I say he's a young man, he's now in his 40s. He's done three or I think possibly four walk missions. The last one was Cumbria. I was speaking to him about TFM recently. He said he was immensely grateful to all that TFM had done for him. But he told me his energy is now elsewhere, both in terms of his own mission and for his church. He said to me, well, I've had a look at your website and there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that TFM is looking too old-fashioned for us to engage with it. He said he thought TFM would struggle to make the change for us to change enough culturally to be relevant. Now, he's not suggesting that our message of holiness or our message of the gospel should be any different at all. Far from it. It's just the image of our approach. Now, I said, I don't actually think that's right, because it's not as if we're a church that doesn't want to change. I don't think people in TFM are wedded to the past, because I don't think we're particularly wedded to any particular culture. Our aim is the gospel. But I have to admit that I recognise, even in myself, that I wake up sometimes and think the world around me has changed beyond what I can recognise. Yeah, and I have 12 people working for me, they're all younger than me, and people say, how can you go on at your age in your particular field of work? But I do recognise that the thinking of everybody is very different. And in some cases, that's quite right. I mean, you're quite right to challenge me, probably. In my heart, I probably am older and more misogynistic, and you know, I am a product of being brought up in the 1960s in a very different family type of environment to most people today, and a lot of that is a good thing, but I have to recognize that that's true. But I don't think TFM is going to be stuck in the past, because I think we will go where the Holy Spirit wants to lead us. I do believe that. I think it's one of the reasons that we look forward to hearing about some of the things that John Hibbard will be sharing. We will look to hear about some of the stuff that's actually going on in mission today. If we're doing mission and people are coming to a relationship with Jesus, then I think we are going to be the happiest people that we can be, regardless of any other cultural consideration. Our approach remains one of faith. At our trustees meeting, finance is always left until after the discussion of mission and what we are going to be doing. It doesn't dictate and drive us. But if God does not provide, I think we would be calling it a day. So, I want to end by expressing my thanks to all of you that give and support us financially, but most of all, for everybody that prays to support us through faith. I am concerned that we build up that basis, that we make sure that our friends that are wanting to support us are still signed up and doing that. You can feel when people are praying for you, can't you? Yeah. So that's it. I'm am I ahead or behind schedule, David? I'm fine. Well, that's what I wanted to share. That's my message, brothers and sisters. Thank you. If there are any, I might push them on to somebody else, but
that 40-year-old who was saying maybe we weren't quite in date now, was he happy to suggest how we could be in date?
That's a very good question. I have to say that when I look at his ministry, I think two things have happened. I think he's probably had difficulties in a church that was reluctant to move forward, although a very good, sound evangelical church in many ways. But his emphasis would be on young people. So he would say most of the people in my... I'm in my 40s, but the majority of people in my church are under 35. And he would see that as that's where our emphasis would be. And I have found it instructive. I mean, I know that some of you will come from, you know, much more modern... I go to a parish church, but a lot of you will come from much more modern churches. And when I go from time to... I went to one a while back. They said, stand up if you're over 50. And there was only a handful of us there amongst 700 other people. And they said, we want to pray for you because we need more older people. but I noticed the preacher was a lady that I was preaching and identifying very much with all the topical issues that if you were a young professional family that have very little time for work, or you are a single mother, you know, she struck on all the relationship points that somebody of that would find something to identify within the message. And the approach wasn't like, oh, you know, the way of engaging with them is different. And I think this is something that Ros and I discussed when trying to get younger people to sign up, handing them a TFM application form, for example, kind of isn't the way they want to work these days. I think it's that kind of stuff that is the the principle, because I'm sure that when the message actually comes down to it, it's going to be exactly the same scripture verses that are getting used. But yeah, it's that cultural barrier. Yeah.
So can I understand what you're saying here, please? Are you saying that if that form was on a phone, it might work, but because it's a piece of paper or something,
It's got to be short and quick and mobile friendly. Actually, yes. Yeah, that's the kind of the way things are. Because that's the way you tax your motor vehicle these days. Yeah, everything. And some people, you know, understandably struggle with that.
Paul, how many people follow us on Facebook?
Mike, I'd have to ask you. We used to send TFM letters to thousands, didn't we?
Okay. Mike, thank you.
I won't steal what David is going to say later.
I'll come to that later.
I'm sorry, okay.
Yeah.
So Facebook has 500 people on it, which is not the most modern thing nowadays, you've got some other things.
Yeah.
But that's quite amazing, isn't
it? I'm encouraged by that. But probably, I think I would say, if we'd been successful in making that transition as I'd like to have been, maybe, then perhaps we would have had 5,000. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We
get to people. Yeah, it's the social action on the street, in people's homes, and really meeting them completely where they are. How we do that, I'm
Yeah. No, I'd be pleased to chat more later.
On the positive side for me about TFM is I don't know of any other organisation where you can go and get on-the-job training to grow as an evangelist from a lay point of view. So be encouraged for that, because I don't know of any other organisation that facilitates that.
Yes.
Someone in a parish who's sitting in the pews who has this burning, is an evangelist, has this burning, but how do they express that? How do they? Because in churches, there's usually only one or two of us as evangelists, yeah, aren't there? And TFM still, to encourage us all, TFM still supplies that opportunity at lay level to get involved. If TFM wasn't around, who would do that? Who would be recruiting from the church pews to go out and do it?
Yeah.
And then everyone goes back to their churches and they're fired up.
You make a good point. The mission that Paula's doing today, they're going to have an organisation called, I think it's Kick London. Yeah, and they will do sporting type activities with young people on this estate. Now, they're a church that has supported TFM in the past. They've had events with Daniel speaking. They have a huge respect for TFM, and they ask advice. They've asked me to go and do some of the follow-up next week. So it's interesting, the reason they've asked me to do the follow-up, because actually you're going to then, where they're faced with adults that have questions in front of you, they are looking to me as being somebody that has the experience, which I've got through TFM, of actually engaging and talking to those people. But it was interesting that they didn't come and ask TFM to actually do the mission this weekend. Because actually they'd identify they need a young target, and they thought Kick London looks like that's it. But it's interesting, Kick London are only going to be there kind of for the weekend. From Sunday lunchtime onwards, they're not around. So it's going to be people like us that pick that bit up. And that's the real value of it. I'm just trying to illustrate your point, that the experience we get in TFM is absolutely what's needed. And it troubles me, actually, how many Christians in modern, younger-facing churches really struggle with that. Usually their leadership's quite good at it. But actually, on a one-to-one basis, maybe not. I think what we do is really, really good. Yeah.
Yeah. They need modelling and practice.
Yes.
Yeah,
and the world's got quite hostile, and I think that's why Richard did a very good job in revising the training material, because it's given people a lot more material. Yeah.